it's a superpower. I think a fresh perspective and a fresh set of eyes is a superpower. It doesn't last forever too. So you really got to relish that moment when you've got that really new view of something and you're able to appreciate it at its most basic level.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Coulter Lewis, who is the CEO and founder of Sunday. Coulter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be on.
So I want to start with the founding story of Sunday. How'd you come up with the original inspiration for the brand and get started with this inspiration?
Yeah, it's funny because the category we're in, I think it does require a little bit of context setting, and it's not something I would necessarily expecting. My story starts back probably all my inspirations from my career and then into my first startup and then into Sunday. So I worked at a company called IDEO, which is a design consultancy, where I was a designer and really learned how to pick apart large problems and learn from people and learn from the end user to find these really innovative solutions and new approaches. Ended up leaving that to start a company with my wife called Quinn Snacks. So she and I started that business right when our first son Quinn was born. And that's an actual snack company. And you know, today you'd find it in every grocery store in the country, but we built it just brick. And what ended up happening at that company is it became a brand and a business that was all about agriculture. Who's growing our food, how they're growing it, what the impact is on the environment, on our customers. And so I went from growing up in the Northeast and having no exposure to agriculture whatsoever to all of a sudden being in field with growers and farmers and like really seeing the beauty of it and seeing how they applied all of this information and all this knowledge to have this relationship with their land, and just a wonderful part of my life. And then I bought a house. I've got three boys, a dog, and a little yard of my own to care for the first time. Really excited about that. And standing in an aisle at a home improvement store, I just felt like, what is this? What the hell is this? This feels way off. This, you smell it from 20 feet away. And then by the time you get there, it's just big sacks of chemicals on pallets. It felt like it was from a different era. And I had that only a few weeks earlier. I'd been in a Dave Vetter's organic farm in Nebraska. And so I had that kind of reference in my mind. And it just felt like there was something that was far off. And so I started digging in and learning about the space. And just it was one of those rare occurrences in my life where every time I peeled back a layer, there was just more to be fixed and more opportunity. And it just kept on going and going. I had these kind of feverish about 4 weeks of really digging in and learning about the space and trying to piece together what an opportunity could be here.
So one of the things is, you know, you went from one of the most amazing design companies in the world with IDEO to creating a snack, natural food snack company, to lawn care. Like, how did you find yourself able to learn about those different industries and go from just pure curiosity to actually figuring out where to start and how to build a food brand, but then how to learn about the chemicals and ingredients of lawn care?
Yeah, I think part of it is not trying to do it all at once and just peeling back one layer at a time. It certainly is overwhelming. All these industries are incredibly complex. They have their own history. There's so much to uncover to fully understand it. And you cannot get there in a day. But I think I find great joy in learning about it and peeling back all those layers. So for me, that's just one of the most exciting phases of the whole thing is when you're digging in and learning. And honestly, I've had times where I've looked at things and when you're a couple layers deep, it just feels a little bit like it's not exactly what I thought it was. And I'm not sure how I could do this different or better. And that's what was different about this space. So a couple things that I found that really lit me on fire and said, we've got to go after this. There's got to be a better way. Is for one, on the agricultural side of it, it turns out our yards are the third largest crop in the U.S. There's 40 million acres of yard, and that ties it with about wheat. So it's 10 times more land than all the organic farms combined. So it is this enormous footprint, an enormous component of what agriculture is in the U.S. But the challenge is the way we care for the space. A managed yard in the U.S. gets about 10 times more pesticides per acre than an industrial farm. Like, it's not like a little bit off base or a little bit too much pesticide. It's madness, the amount of toxic stuff we're putting on our own backyards. And so with some of these basic core facts that we started to uncover, that just lit a fire under my butt. And it felt like I absolutely had to go after this thing. I think once you start seeing a problem like that, you just almost there's no going back. You've got to go solve it.
We hear a lot about product market fit that comes off so often, but then you have founder market fit. And when you try and think about, you didn't come from Scotts or one of the big companies. You were really tackling an outsider approaching it. With your design background, what do you think that outsider perspective allowed you to see about the industry that others weren't able to?
This does go back to some of the days at IDEO where we would learn a new industry every 3 months or so. And one of our greatest advantages was we were in an environment where we're allowed to think freely and really challenge to come up with unique solutions. That's a big positive. But more than anything is that we could see it with a fresh perspective. And the large companies we're working for just didn't have that perspective. And so we would see a lot of glaring things that just they couldn't uncover. So that is it's a superpower. I think a fresh perspective and a fresh set of eyes is a superpower. It doesn't last forever too. So you really got to relish that moment when you've got that really new view of something and you're able to appreciate it at its most basic level. And the things that are not obvious, people who are in it become really obvious to you. And certainly that's what that first phase was for me. Going from there though, like I saw a lot that felt like it needed to be fixed from my perspective, a lot of the experience, every part of the category felt like it just hadn't evolved in a way that other consumer markets had evolved. And that said though, the most powerful thing to do in order to learn what is the real opportunity here and to really push your thinking and push innovation is to talk to people. So what we did at Sunday is we spent a year user testing with 100 people across the US. And so we gave them various products. We did video interviews. We visited them. We did surveys. We worked with them through a full season of spring, summer, fall. And through all of that, just gained tons of insight of what it means. And not like the, I want a bag that doesn't rip. Not the purely functional, boring stuff. What does this space mean to you? How do you relate to it? What's your emotional connection to your yard? Roles that play in your life? And then how do you want to care for it? And really some of the fundamental things. And through that, we did learn a thing that fundamentally changed the shape of Sunday and the kind of business that we built. And the thing we learned was that nobody knows anything about lawn and garden care. The average person would say, I'm a little different. I don't know a lot about this. I kill houseplants, right? And everyone felt alone in that and felt like they were unique in their lack of ability. But what we saw was that was universal. And so that really framed a different problem for us to solve. Not only do we want to make a modern brand in the space that had better ingredients, but we had to empower people, which is really complex.
With that in mind then, how did you think about what products you're going to start with? Lawn care is such a massive, from the lawn to the plants to the garden. Where did you decide to start and do that product mix?
I had to go outside of my comfort zone the most, where what we were doing at Quinn was really that building a brand with deep meaning behind it and real values and bringing better ingredients, better product to the shelf. And that's, I think at the beginning, what I imagined Sunday would be doing. What Sunday ended up doing was building an experience and empowering people, which is much more tech focused than it is product focused. This was something I didn't have direct experience with, and you were fighting a war on two fronts, so to speak, in that you were developing the physical products while at the same time developing a digital experience and having the two work together. And just zooming out, why lawn care, why that was the right initial category, lots of reasons went into that. One thing is it's almost a universal need. So it's a really large market, a lot of frustration around it. The other thing is from a tech perspective, we were able to do this kind of ag tech at the backyard scale for lawns more directly. We had the science behind that kind of nailed down. We're able to do that very specific tailored experience that we offer for yards. Whereas for gardens, there's many more variables and it's next phase type things. That's where we started. I will say on the physical product side, like again, with the curiosity, I just started making it in my garage. I joke that I'm probably on every FBI list there ever was because it's literally mixing fertilizer in my garage. But I tell my neighbors, but it's organic, it's okay. But I started to learn how you make liquid fertilizers, how you dry them into solubility, what the limits are, and just really got a feel for the science. And then I brought people on who knew more than me could help, but I at least had that basis to know what was possible.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsource referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
taking that next step of what was possible, you've had the strategy of both direct to consumer, overcoming one of those big challenges that a lot of your consumer research showed, but then also the big box and the traditional retail that is the front door for a lot of people's journey in this space.
Yep.
How do you balance that distribution strategy and really going after the two of them in different ways?
Yeah, they have to work together. It was something that we learned while doing. I'd love to say that we had a complete understanding of exactly how those two channels were going to work together and just deployed our perfect plan. The reality is that retail came to us before we were probably really fully ready for it. But you're right, 96% of this category is bought in retail. It pretty much isn't online except for Sunday. And so it's absolutely crucial that if we want to, you know, offer a better way to care for your outdoor home, that we're in retail and we have a big presence there. We're building kind of the brand and credibility in that space as well. And what made that possible, really what made retail possible for Sunday, was better partnerships with our retailers. Like what we were able to find there was retailers who weren't saying, oh yeah, we'll give it a try. We'll put a couple on shelf and see what happens. Instead, they were investing. We want to do a launch with you. We want to give you a brand block on shelf so you have some presence. And that's a scenario where, through all my experience with Quinn and retail and all the time I spent, that's the right way to do it. To get good placement, good visibility in store, and good partnership, people want to work with you and see your mission and want to be a part of it too. When you can find that, then retail can really work.
When you look at both retail and D2C, has there been anything that one or other channel informed your product roadmap or your where you were heading next because of what you learned in that channel?
The amazing thing about D2C is how much you can learn from your customers. I remember at Quinn, we would sell our product to a distributor who'd sell to a grocery store who'd sell to an end consumer. Right? So we're 3 degrees separated from the end user. Whereas on the direct consumer side, and especially because Sunday's entire offering is around offering an experience and actually helping people step by step through the whole year of caring for their yard, we have direct communication with our customers. We learn from them constantly. We have, you know, thousands of customer service inquiries per week where people are asking, what's going on with my yard? I had this kind of weed. What do you think that is? We're able to pull all of this data in and just be that much smarter, even on a regional level, of what's going on where and what challenges our customers are seeing and how to best serve them. It's incredible to have this continuous flow of information of what our customers are doing, thinking, and needing.
That's wonderful. So when you think about that, then what is next for Sunday? What do you have coming down the pipeline?
We always have a lot coming down the pipeline. I think for us right now, we've in a couple of years have gone from this is a crazy idea kind of phase to, I think this year we'll help our millionth customer care for their yard, which I'm really proud of. We have the largest soil database ever created because our customers take soil tests and we're able to have deeper science because of all that data. And we're using that platform and that base we've created to grow into more of outdoor home. This year you'll find garden products as well as pest control through Sunday. And all things that we developed ourselves with the kind of same approach of avoiding the synthetic chemicals and the things that you read about that are just so toxic and poisonous, but at the same time, getting you great results and empowering you to care for your yard in a better way. Really what we're building toward is that ability that Sunday is just how you do outdoor home. That's what we're working toward.
When you think about that kind of mission, that journey, one of the things that's really unique for the business is the loyalty and retention rates that you have both in D2C and retail. And that's been a barrier for a lot of the new generation of consumer brands that trial might happen, but that repeat is something they constantly struggle with churn and everything else. How have you guys approached that? And what do you think is, what can be the lesson that others can learn about your approach to that?
Yeah, I know it's interesting. On the direct consumer side of the business, I think I'll start with the kind of less emotional answer, which is just the business fundamentals and what's required to run a direct consumer business now. Really, because of the cost structure involved in advertising and such, you really need to have a loyal customer that is retained and has a high enough value so that you can go and afford the marketing and afford all of the brand building to get them in the door. And I didn't know that going into this. I didn't understand the mechanics of a direct consumer business and how they would evolve through COVID and things like that. But I would say maybe just lucky that we developed something that was an experience and end-to-end solution for a customer. And that's really what drives us with that high retention rate. So instead of, I think it was just like its most fundamental level, what direct consumer or just on e-commerce and commerce has been is you show a selection of things to people and say, which one do you want? And they pick the thing they want. And Sunday's approach is entirely different. we're not asking what they want. We're telling them what they need. And so it's turning that whole thing on its head and developing a relationship with the customer where instead of saying, hey, do you want some fertilizer? Pick the one you want. If you think about the store, here's what happens. They go in the store, they look at that shelf. They think, I hope I don't kill my lawn. That's their level of confidence. They buy a bag of toxic whatever, bring it up to the front counter, and the person checks them out and says, good luck with that. And that's it. Whereas Sunday is really saying, well, we're going to look at your property. We're going to analyze your soil. We're going to look at your weather and create a custom solution for you. And then every single step of the way through the full year, we're going to guide you to make sure you get the best results and you feel like you know what you're doing and you have high confidence. So it's that kind of end-to-end experience that drives the high retention with Sunday.
Building on that, a lot of CPG brands say technology companies, but it's just that they have an e-commerce site and that's about it. You guys have really thought about tech and building it in with the, you know, the testing and the database and everything else. So how have you thought about intentionally merging technology with lawn care?
It is, I think merging technology and physical products is really difficult. We're constantly looking for examples to learn from and just what great looks like in that North Star. And there's so little of it actually happening out there where technology plays a crucial role in the experience of a physical product, unless it's a technology product, of course. But in terms of consumables, things like that, typical CPG and technology just have not mixed. And so a lot of this we had to figure out as we're going. And I'll say one thing I've learned for people out there is that the technology side of it and building and designing the experience and supporting all of the upgrades to that experience over time is a huge lift. And it's actually a lot more challenging than developing a physical product side of the business. So it is bringing on a lot. You need a lot more capacity to handle that. And for us, the end customer experience, retention we drive through it is absolutely worth it. And really the way we think about it and the way we structure all of that is it's about our North Star of empowering people. And so it's learning about where they are in their journey and all of their desires to care for this part of their life. And then being like, the metaphor we use is we want to be like the neighbor who knows all about this stuff. And they lean over the fence at the right time and say, hey, just so you know, it's going to frost on Thursday. So you want to cover that up. Or we're in a bit of a drought right now. So the best thing you can do is this and this. We want to be that ally and that support for our customers. And so that's a continual effort. We just continually building a richer and deeper experience to really fulfill that mission.
The final question for you is, if we look over the last decade, we've seen probably one of the greatest changes we might ever see for consumer brands and new brands launching, investment brands, how investors thought about it, of tons of excitement and a really struggle the last 12 months. What advice are you giving to future founders today that are looking at a category and consumer and want to make a change and invent something new?
I think you have to be less fickle than the VC community. You've got to lead with what change you can make, why it matters to people, why they would tell a friend about it, really reaching that high bar of importance in their life. And if you could find a thing that does that, like you're going to go through three or four of those cycles probably as you're building it. And so you really, I think it would be way too short-sighted to react to, you know, a fickle mindset in the near term. Chase the problem, you know, create something incredible that people want to talk about, and it'll work out.
That is a perfect point to end on. So can't thank you enough for sharing the journey of what you've built with Sunday, and most importantly, introducing a new way to care for our lawns to consumers everywhere.
Thank you, Dave. It was really fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingthetern.com.